Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus the Christ, our Master and our Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. I want to say good morning, family. Pray everybody has had a blessed evening and that you've gotten the prescribed rest and that you are ready to actually get into the Word of the Most High on this morning. Last night, as we were in Deuteronomy chapter 22, the Most High was talking about, you know, relationships and sexual immorality, and how we sort of looked at how far off base we have gotten in His Word, how we are just way out of line, you know, from His Word. And on this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 23, as we get into this. There's some things that I want to do, some statistics that I want to talk about in relationship to this, because we as this people, all people have this problem. I don't care what race of people they are on the earth. We have this problem, okay? And the Most High, you know, when it comes to Israel, the Most High has declared that Israel should not have this problem. And because Israel has become like the world, then we find ourselves steeped in this particular problem. This was a world problem prior to, you know, when the Most High established Israel, and it's still a world problem today, but Israel, in its desire to be accepted by the world and not to be the example to the world, those Israel that is cast into all the other nations, trying to be like those nations, this has become a real big problem. So we want to look at that in depth today, because the Most High says some things in Deuteronomy chapter 38 that Deuteronomy chapter 23, I mean, that is, you know, that we really need to take a look at as part of coming into the new covenant and taking on the new covenant and living within it, that we have to, you know, we have to amend our ways. Just no two ways about it. So we're going to go ahead and get started. Let me do this differently this morning, because these things are so heavy in my heart that sometimes, you know, I get excited to get going, and I need to be faithful to the Most High. Let us summon the Most High in this morning on this Shabbat. It says, when we blow the shofar, he will come. We need him to be part of and present at, you know, our lessons, at our meetings. We need the Most High. And so his word says that when we blow the shofar or the trumpet, he will come. We will summon him with our prayers. But we, you know, I believe in the word of the Most High. He says do these things, and so we want to be faithful. Sorry about that. Pressed the wrong button. Thank you. Amen, amen, and amen. I want to welcome everybody, whether you're in Pal Talk or Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, in the English, Jesus the Christ. I want to welcome you all this morning, and let me have the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads. Whether you're in North America, South America, on the African continent, in the European theater, or in the Far East, we say welcome one and welcome all. We are striving to come into the proper relationship with our Most High Elohim, and let us go before him in prayer this morning. No, let us do our statement of faith first. Our statement of faith. I am so wanting to get into this topic, it is just not funny. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, in according with 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. We thank you this morning. We glorify you and we lift you up, Father. We magnify your name. You are my Elohim. Hallelujah. And I will not bow down to another, Father. I will not praise another. I will not worship another. It's your voice that I hear, Father. And it's your voice that I'll obey. Father, I just want to thank you this morning for all your goodness and your mercy and your kindness. I want to thank you this morning for keeping us safe all through the night, Father. I want to thank you this morning for giving us our mind to just be focused on you, Father. Hallelujah. And we thank you this morning. We glorify you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High. Let us turn toward the east. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, and we are turning from our wicked ways, and we're repenting of our sins, and we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this is what our testimony will be, that this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we have prepared a place here for you this morning. We ask that you would come and that you would be with us. We ask that it would be you that we hear from. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. Let's personalize it this morning. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whither we were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee, in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned, we have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all our hearts and with all our soul, in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon has built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee, and give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And now, Israel, Exodus chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other Elohims, which you have not known. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right. Let me do this. Prayer, or the calling in the Bible, the Lord's Prayer in Hebrew.
I will Shabbat Shemayim Kodashaya Shemkaya Malakwa Nawa Kaba'a Rakasai Nawa Haya Asha Baratuza Kohor Mayam, but then the Nawa, the Hum Kawya Wong. Wasalap Nawa, Kawawap Nawa, Kasalap Nawa, Kawawap Yanawa, Wala Athabayanawa, Banaskaya Wong above.
We're going to read verses 1 and 2 to start off this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 1 and 2. He that is wounded in the stones or has his privy member cut off shall not enter into the congregation of Yah. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of Yah. Even to his 10th generation, he shall not enter into the congregation of Yah. I want to stop here because in this second verse, we have a big problem in Israel and in the world, really, because this problem is not just a Hebrew issue. And, you know, they want to magnify it as though this is a particularly a quote-unquote black problem. And when you look at it from the standpoint statistically, if you have 100 people, and, you know, so we got to understand statistics. So I just want to do a little short thing here so we understand numbers and what they're actually saying. If you have 100 people and the statistic says that 29% of your people are X, then that means that 29 out of 100 people fit into that category. If you had 200 people, then that would mean that half, so roughly about 14%. Because it would be twice the number of people, same percentage, half the number of people would fit that category. When you have 29% of 200, though, that means that it now doubled. So if the percentage, you have 200 people, and the percentage is still 29%, then rather than 29 people, it's now 58 people that fit the category. So if you don't understand how the numbers work, depending upon what picture you want to paint, you can make the numbers say whatever you want them to say. That is not my interest this morning. I don't want to paint a picture based upon the statistics to point the finger at any one race of people, any one category of people. We are looking at the covenant and what the Most High requires, okay, of his people. And he says that a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of Yah. Now, let's go get the definition of a bastard, okay, so that we don't say, you know, this is Brother Miles, but this is the definition from the dictionary, and it's the same definition that the Most High uses. A bastard, a natural child, a child begotten or born out of wedlock, an illegitimate or spurious child. Now, that is the definition of this word in the English, and it's the English that we're reading. And so, with that definition in mind, then the Most High says that a child that is born out of wedlock shall not enter into the congregation. This is rough. Why? Because when I go and look at the statistics for all the races, children being, and especially, you know, in the United States, children being born out of wedlock, which technically speaking identifies them as being a bastard by the scriptures, has been on the rise since the 1960s. Now, prior to the 1960s, prior to the invention of birth control, to be more specific, if a woman was caught and pregnant out of wedlock, then usually there would be what is called a shotgun wedding. Those have also decreased since the 1960s. You know, if a woman gets pregnant today, then the chances of the man, you know, being forced to marry her are next to nil. Okay. But because of premarital sex and the invention of the birth control and, you know, sex being expected as part of the relationship, then, and people not being married, then this has gotten way out of control. And when we come, you know, my concern in this matter is that as we are coming back into and trying to make sure that we are in right standing with the Most High, that there's some things that we must reconcile as His body. And so when we're looking at this, the statistics, you know, the scientists and, you know, they've done studies and they want to blame it on, you know, different things. But the truth of the matter is it comes down to moral decay where people are saying, hey, we want to have sex before marriage. We want to experiment. And if we have sex before marriage because the birth control pill allows that, then this is what we want to do. Now, I could get into statistics and everything else, you know, and I've read the reports because this is one of those areas where the Most High is very clear. He doesn't like premarital sex. He doesn't like children born out of wedlock as a result of that premarital sex. And in the scriptures, as we read last night, the only time that he even made allowances for premarital sex is if a woman was forced. And then the man was supposed to die. The man that forced her, he was supposed to die. Other than that, if she was a willing participant, they were both supposed to die. So that you wouldn't have any of this, you know, illegitimate children being born. And so when this happens, the Most High in His Word, it had to be happening for Him to address it, even back here. So when this happens, He said, that child shall not come into the congregation. But the truth of the matter is, this behavior was not acceptable. According, you know, in regards to the Most High. Now, you know, I need to bring this forward to us in this day and this time. Because we call ourselves the children of the Most High. And the Most High says, you know, in the New Testament, that it is the child should not pay for the sins of the parent. The child still needs to acknowledge this is their situation and understand that they don't want to have that, you know, they don't want to exhibit that behavior when they come to the Most High. But the parents, we have so many, you know, I think amongst, if we put it all together, there's probably about, I think it said in 2016, 69%. Of all black families, 69% of the children were being born to unwed mothers out of wedlock. 29% of white families, 35% of Hispanic. When we look at this, I'm not worried about what the world is doing. That is not our focus and our concern. Our focus and our concern is what is the body of Messiah doing? And so it is one thing when we come into truth and we have already been in this situation and we have to repent of it and not allow it to happen anymore. It's another thing when we are in truth and we're still doing this, still fornicating, and having children out of wedlock. And this is a man and a woman problem because women don't get pregnant by themselves. So it can't just put the blame on the woman. It is a societal problem, and it is brought forth, as I can see it going back into the history. You know, has this always been going on? Yes. To the degree that it goes on today, no. And with this acceptance of, you know, birth control and It's okay to have premarital sex. Then the result of that is, you know, birth control don't always work. And with men and women both deciding not to practice abstinence, I'm just not going to do it till I'm married, then we have this increase, this explosion in what the Most High, what he terms and what he has identified as being a bastard, and not, and that they shall not enter in to the congregation. Now, I want to speak toward to the children who might find themselves in this situation, because they had no, you know, they had no role, they had no part in the matter, in what their parents did or what their mother and their father did or the people who made them. And so it can be, this can be a huge turn off to the younger generation. If you think about it, if 69% of your children are being born out of wedlock and you're trying to bring them back into truth and they read the scriptures and the scripture describes them this way, how do you think they're going to feel? How do you think that, do you think that it will cause them to turn away from the Most High? Do you think it will cause them to seek their spirituality somewhere else? And the problem with this is there's only one Elohim. There is no place really else to go that is truthful. That is, you're serving the one and true living Elohim, so it causes them to go off into false religion. And so, you know, I would want to speak to them this morning and tell them, you are not responsible for what your parents did. But you do need to come to the Most High and acknowledge your situation and tell him that, hey, I will not do this. I will not live my life this way. And I accept Messiah as my Savior, as my Redeemer. And I will live according to his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. I will not make the same mistake my parents made. I will not follow after their similitude. Because, see, one of the things that we know is children seem to emulate their parents. So how can a parent, you know, we have some parents that will do this, that will say, hey, don't make the same mistake I made. And, you know, the child will say, well, was I wanted? Was I a mistake? And some parents, you know, will say, oh, yeah, I didn't want you. I didn't want children. How do you think that makes that child feel? Oh, yeah, I wanted you, but just not at that time. But it's because of the immoral behavior, the behavior that goes against what the Most High has already dictated, that causes this situation to come up. Now, if this has been going on and increasing since the 1960s, getting worse and worse, then we are having generations of children that when they read into the scriptures, when they come to the Most High, if they decide that they want to come, then it puts them at odds with the Most High. It puts them in a unfavorable light with the Most High. And so we need, number one, we need to stop putting our children even in this situation as a people. Because no child should have to feel that way. We have children who are born to both parents in the family and still in this world, still struggling because of the way this world is, struggling with their identity. And the world teaching them that, hey, you ought to be this way. Not godly, not like the Most High in any way. And so for those children who are born out of wedlock, how much worse do you think that they would feel in this? So I want to say to those children this morning, it is not your fault, but come to the Most High and lay your life out before him. Be the change. Be the change. When I read these scriptures, for me, I can only speak for me. I can't speak for anyone else. For me, I don't want to make the same mistakes my forefathers and my parents made. I should be able to learn from their mistakes. And I shouldn't accept that, you know, what they did is just a way of life. And so turn yourself over to the Most High. If you've been practicing premarital sex, because that is what the world is telling you, my plea to you this morning is that you would stop and that you would turn away. Before something happens and you do create a child that goes through the same thing and has to read the scriptures and then say, oh, the God of the Bible don't want me. And put that guilt on that child. So we have got to do better as a people, all people, especially those that tie themselves to the Most High. Whether you be quote-unquote a Christian or a Hebrew Israelite claiming to be the people of the Most High, doesn't matter. If you tie yourself to the Most High Elohim, then you must live by his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. We have to turn this thing around, because who's going to make it in? Who's going to get in? Who's going to live a life worthy? So we as his people, if we are living in truth, this world is not a perfect place. In this world we live, this is all we know. And, you know, if we grow up in the world, if we grew up not in truth, then this is what we knew. And we followed after the example. But it has to come a generation that we change these things, that we turn away from them. And I'm appealing to the younger generation. No matter what your status is, no matter what your parents have done, no matter how you got here, the Most High is saying to you this morning, you don't have to suffer for the sins of your parents. Now, this is part of the New Testament. But when we read this, understand that the Most High's intent, so that you don't make the same mistake. But the Most High's intent is that we don't produce generations of bastards, of children that are born out of wedlock. That it just doesn't happen. And as far as the Most High is concerned, it is abnormal behavior. We have made it normal. But when it comes to our Elohim, the God of the Holy Bible, the Elohim of the Holy Scriptures, this is abnormal behavior. It's behavior of a corrupt mind. And we have bought into it. And this is one of the things that this is so pervasive. This is so pervasive that we are raising generations. No wonder there's going to be a great falling away. No wonder we got fewer and fewer of our children coming to the Most High, when from the very beginning, when they read these scriptures, they're going to say, I don't qualify. Because of what the parents are doing. And even if the parent comes to truth and repents and turns away, and starts to live a righteous life, that child still has to deal with that stigma. Got to change the mentality of the brothers and the sisters, the men and the women. You know, and I start with you women because you, more than the men, will be in the Word. But it's something about being alone that you have a problem dealing with. But if you have to be alone to be holy, then be alone. And I say this with all sincerity, because we are deeply in trouble. And not only that, when we come into the new covenant, the Most High wipes all that out. He wiped all that out. And then we turn around and do it again. And then say, oh, well, you know, he says, if I confess it, he is true and just to forgive me. You don't get pregnant. I can't say you don't get pregnant by accident, because maybe you weren't trying to get pregnant, but you were trying to fornicate, unless you were forced. So I speak to the women, and I've said this before, but we have to teach our young daughters. We have to take up this mantle. That if you ain't married, you ain't doing this. And you're not trying to appease the man, because you need to have a man in your life. So you won't actually have sex. Well, you have to do this. You have to give me oral sex or whatever. No. You have to stay away from it, period. Because you doing something like that, your body will turn against you too. And it will start to desire to. It will function the way it is designed to function. But the Most High said it's designed to function this way in a legal relationship. Now, whether you're in a legal relationship or not, you start stimulating it, it's going to function. So we've got to start teaching our young women and our young men not to be generating and not to be doing this, because the end of it is the lake. Period. The Most High says you think you're getting away with something, but you're not getting away with anything. Just be happy I didn't kill you right away. But you're still going to pay for it. So we definitely have to stop this. I mean, think about that. Think about who we say that we are. Think about what we say we believe, who we say we serve. And then we are contrary. Contrary to that. We're contrary to him. So we have to be the generation for, you know, my generation, the vast majority, it's too late. Whatever judgment the Most High is going to give, that's the judgment we are under. And we have to pray that he don't impute our sins against us. But we cannot continue to produce generation after generation after generation after generation after this similitude, and then say we are and we belong to the Most High. Oh, we thank him that he's merciful. When we come into the New Testament again, as I said, he's not as merciful as people want to make him out to be. And people are doing that and saying that so that they can justify themselves and continue to do what they are doing, have been doing. If they really understood who he is and how he operates, if they really, really understood, they would know one time was too many times. And so to take the chance that he's going to just blow it off, we really are putting ourselves in jeopardy, really, to go to the lake. Instead of turning away with our whole heart, turning completely away from it, we'll say, well, I hope I don't get weak. No, you can't afford to be weak. None of us can. If you truly desire to make it into his kingdom, you cannot afford to get weak. So this issue, because the Most High says, I don't want that seed. He told Israel, I don't want that seed. And we have become a nation, a world. Now, this was going on in the world. And when the Most High took Israel and made it a nation, don't think that this wasn't going on, because it was going on. And Most High said, this is not to be tolerated amongst those who are in covenant relationship with me. So he's more or less telling them, if you're doing it, stop. If you're doing it or have been doing it, stop. Because see, what people don't realize is before coming out of Egypt, Israel worshiped the gods of Egypt. Where do you think Aaron got calf worship from? Go back and read Moses. He said, hey, Pharaoh, you need to let us go out into the wilderness, because we're going to be sacrificing the abomination that you worship. The Egyptians worshiped the cow. It was a deity to them. Here it is, the Most High says, nah, I made those to be sacrificed to me. The Egyptians were worshiping it. That's where Aaron and the people got that from. That's where Jeroboam, when he went back to Egypt, what did he bring back? Calf worship. It wasn't an accident. And so the Most High is telling the people, as he's, you know, you've been in Egypt for 200 and some odd years in the land, becoming a people. Because when he says that they were there 430 years, that time started from the time of Abraham. But Jacob and the 12 sons weren't in Egypt 430 years. Just a little bit over 200. But the Most High counted it from the time that he first gave Abraham the promise. Because from the time he gave Abraham the promise, to the time that they were given the law was 430 years. That's when Moses brought them out and brought them to Mount Sinai and gave them the law. Now, here we are. We are receiving the law. The Most High is going back over it with Israel before he sends them into the promised land. This behavior is not acceptable. So, we are in the last days. We get awakened to who we are as a people, and then we continue to make the same mistake that our forefathers made. That is just totally unacceptable. Why did he wake us up then? I can tell you why. Because the Most High says, prepare the flock of the slaughter. The flock of the slaughter. Don't think that we can do this to him and get away with it. So if you have been awakened, and if you have joined yourself to Israel, because you recognize the people of the Most High, then also recognize that if you are awakened, that you have to walk according to the voice of the Most High. You have to. Or else you're going to be part of that slaughter. you and everything that you produce, because they're going to follow after you. And we don't want to hear that. So we got to come out of this nonsense, out of this mess. And we have to train our children. If the Most High tarries, because see, I don't know exactly when he's coming back. He says, no man knows the day or the hour. And people could be misinterpreting some prophecy. And some prophecy that we think may not have happened yet may have already happened. Or it may not have happened. The truth of the matter is, we are supposed to be living every day as though it's our last, as though he could come at any time. And not only that, we should be living every day like we're trying to get into his kingdom for real, that we're not trying to get out of it. Because the way we're living, we're cutting ourselves off from the kingdom and saying that, oh, the Most High just got to accept us. You know, I'm human. I'm fallible. This thing is hard. You got to love him and fear him more than you love and fear this world. He tells us that over and over and over again. You got to love me more than father, mother, sister, child, friend. You got to fear me more than you fear anything else. Fear me more than you fear death. You got to give him your all. So I want to go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. And I want everybody to go there with me. Because he talks about spiritual children. Now, we're talking about natural children here in Deuteronomy chapter 23. But he talks about spiritual children. Because, see, even the way that we chastise our children, the world is telling us, no, you don't do it that way. No, it is child abuse if you physically spank your child. But the Most High says, if you care about that child, you won't let that child go down a road that's going to take them into foolishness. Should you be beating them for everything? No. That should not be your only means of discipline. But, you know, we are hard-headed and a stiff-necked people. The world is. The world has always been that way. And the Most High said, I chose you not because you were good, but because you were few in number, Israel. So we should never be puffed up as a people because the Most High chose us. Especially since, for the most part, we haven't done what he said to do. Well, how are we going to be puffed up? Been disobedient, but we're going to be puffed up. We the people of the book. Yeah, you the disobedient people of the book. We are. Let us go to Hebrews chapter 12. We'll start in verse 1. We'll come back to Deuteronomy. Because this dealing with this topic of bastards. Now, I'm going to say this before we start reading. If you are being sinful, if you know you're practicing sin, and nothing bad is happening to you, and you're not being chastised, then know that you're in trouble. Because your father is not the Most High. I'm going to speak frankly with us. Your father is not the Most High if you are willfully practicing sin and you're not being chastised for it. So I want us to read Hebrews chapter 12 with some understanding, because we have to change. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed or surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, those things that weigh us down in this world, and the sin which does so easily beset us. Because we're easy to, you know, to go back into sin. We say we stop, and then something come up that, you know, we like doing. We know where it leads to, but it brings us pleasure. Makes us feel happy. Might make us feel like somebody. Because this is what we identify with in the world. And still holding on to those things and not holding on to the things of the Most High. So this sin, which so easily besets us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. This race, he said, run it with patience. But also he says, run it with the intention of coming in first place to get the prize. Each generation has to run this race. And so if you're running the race, and you want to beat Abraham already finished the race. But if you're going to finish the race ahead of him, then you got to have, what, more faith than Abraham had to beat him. You ran your heat, and you did a 9.2 100-yard dash. I'm going to try to do a 9.1. This is what he's saying, okay? Run the race. Run it with patience. Understand that, you know what? You can't be in a hurry for gratification, because that gratification that we so seek after all the time leads us to sin. So you got to consider everything that you do. Is this decision that I'm making, is it going to bring me life, or is it going to bring me to death? Am I choosing to be blessed, or am I choosing to be cursed? Every decision. Looking into Yeshua, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Messiah thought he knew what was on the other side. You think he didn't want to go to that cross. For that purpose, he came into the world. But you think he wanted to let the very people that he came to save kill him? And the way that they were going to kill him? Brutally, and the Most High wanted it to be so, because the Most High said, this is what I want to do to all of you. So I'm going to take it out on Messiah. But this is what I really want to do to you all that have been disobedient to me. And Messiah knew this. Said that he went through it and he endured it with joy, but he didn't really want to do it. Even right before it happened, he says, Father, if it be thy will, take away this cup. There got to be another way. Because he knew what was coming. Despising the shame. Think about it. You're coming to die for me, and I'm trying to kill you. But I'm trying to kill you because I don't believe in you. I'm not trying to hurry you up to save me. I'm trying to kill you because I'm against you. So he says, think about him and what he endured. Think about the contradiction of it. The Savior of the world, I come to save you, and what you're trying to do is kill me? And step down on the right hand of the throne of Elohim. For consider him that endured such contradiction. That is a contradiction. I come to save you, and you here to kill me out of malice. Such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your mind. So if, then think about what Messiah went through and the contradiction of it. Lest you think what you're going through, you think it's such a big deal that you become tired and weary and worn out. If he can go through what he did even unto death, look, watch what he says here next. You have not yet resisted unto blood. You ain't shed no blood to get saved. You ain't been attacked. And when that day comes, you may denounce the Most High. If Antichrist comes now and says, you know what? You're going to take the mark. I'm going to kill you and your children and everybody else. You're going to shed some blood. A lot of people are going to turn away. They're not going to resist unto blood because they love this life. He said Messiah gave his life. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Against it. We've been running toward it. Trying to forgive ourselves for our iniquity, making excuses. But we should be resisting it unto blood. Have you forgotten the exhortation or encouragement which speaketh unto you as children? The Most High, now I'm going to say this so that we get on the right page. When the Most High accepts you and makes you his child, you should value and esteem that above everything else. Above everything else. The Most High has made me his child. Everybody is not a child of the Most High. You need to understand that from the beginning. So when the Most High accepts you, and if you know he's accepted you as his child, and how you going to know? You're going to find out here in a minute. Then you should value that above everything else. He's going to even talk about Esau, and I told you the problem with Esau. There's two types of people in this world that the Most High is looking at. Those that value their birthright and those that don't. So I want you to hear me well. Those that value their birthright, the Most High made you his child, so you should value that above everything else. And that should be enough to keep you from sinning, because what he gives you as part of your birthright, you would throw that all away to conform to this world. Maybe you don't believe the promises. Maybe you think the Most High is not going to do what he said he's going to do as concerning his promises. But that promise alone and him accepting you as his child should be enough to make you stop sinning, to be enough to keep you from sinning. Should be enough to you say, hey, I wouldn't throw this away for anything or anybody. Because you think 40 years, 50 years, 70 years, 100 years, compares to time without limit, compares to eternity, it don't. So we know here and now, and we live in here and now, and that's how we make our decisions, but he's saying you need to look further than that. You need to understand better than that, to understand that what you're throwing away is your eternity and where you're going to spend it at. That's what you're throwing away. So he says, you haven't resisted unto blood. Now, I'm admonishing you. Remember, I encourage you. Have you forgotten that I encourage you and spoke to you as unto children? My son, my daughter, despise not the chastening of Yah, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Now, I want us to hear this, because if these things, if we are willfully practicing sin, if we are not obeying the voice of the Most High, and we are not being rebuked because of it, I want you to hear what the Most High has to say about it, not what Brother Miles has to say about it. For whom Yah loveth, he chastens and scourges. We want to look up this definition for chasten, okay? Because, see, a lot of people don't want this. And a lot of people, you know, well, I want to be the Most High, but I don't want to be corrected. I don't want to be disciplined. I want to do what I do, and then, you know, as I learn, I'll straighten up. It don't work that way. Chasten. A primitive root, chastised, literally, with blows. So, to be beat, or figuratively with words. You know, when you talk to your child and if you don't stop that, I'm going to beat your behind. I'm going to make you go stay in your room or you're going to go to bed without dinner, whatever. That's a chastening to correct that behavior. And scourge. Let's look up this word scourge. To flog. That means to be beat with. A whip or a stick. A belt. Now let's read this verse again. For whom Yah loveth, he chastises and scourges. He rebukes and he whips them. Every son whom he receiveth. How many does he do it to? Everyone. Every son whom he receives, he scourges and he chastens. So if you're doing something wicked and you're not getting whipped, you might want to think again who you belong to. If you endure chastening, the correction, Elohim dealeth with you as sons, as his children. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? Letting you know. You don't get to be bad and not be corrected. Because if he don't correct you, then it means he don't love you. But don't just let him tell you that. But if you be without chastening, whereof all are partakers, all his children are partakers of this chastening, then are you bastards and not sons. Bastards of the Most High. He says, no, you don't belong to me. This is not a good place to be in. He says, I correct those that are mine. And then we got the world telling us, oh no, don't chastise and don't correct your child. Leave it to the state to do. There's some behaviors that they have that for some of them a good butt whipping would have straightened out. But you know, we got to do things. Everything has to be equal. It has to be measured. It has to be with a purpose in mind. Not that, you know, I done let you get away with so much stuff that now I'm mad and I'm angry, so now I'm going to beat you behind. No. That's not actually good parenting. That's not actually being a good father or a good mother. That is you acting out of your anger. All the other times I did wrong, why didn't you correct me then? Why didn't you correct me? Because you love me, because you know that this is going to make me behave in an acceptable manner. And the acceptable manner should be in regards to the Most High. Verse 8 again. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, all the children of the Most High, you do wrong, you should expect chastisement. Then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us. Why? And we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? He said, these men corrected us, but it was really for their pleasure. And he's going to say that, I believe. For they verily for a few days chastise us after their own pleasure. Because you know what? If this wasn't to make them more godly, if this wasn't to put the fear of the Most High in them, if it wasn't to give them godly principles, just because it was their own personal, you know what, you're not going to disrespect me. You're not going to act that way in my house. But it really didn't have anything to do because they, you know, they were out doing the same things, sinning, but don't want their children to. You ain't grown yet. more or less is what they be saying. You can't do this. You ain't grown. But the example that they're giving the child is to teach them to be worldly. It wasn't to teach them to be like the father for their own pleasure. But he for our profit. The Most High says, I'm chastising you because you're the one that's going to benefit from it. You're the one that's going to gain from it. You're going to gain the kingdom. You're going to gain life eternal in paradise. And if you are not mine, you're going to gain life eternal, but in the lake of fire. So this is for your profit if I chastise you. I don't want you to be a bastard. I don't like bastards. And I don't like when people do these things. So don't even do it in the natural. That we might be partakers of his holiness. A lot of us fighting being holy. Like it's a bad word. No. Wrong attitude. Wrong thought process. That will definitely keep you out of the kingdom. That will definitely get you an assignment to the lake. Now, no chastising for the present seemeth to be joyous. You know, you having your fun. And if the Most High ain't chastising, you think you got it good. Now, realizing you really got it bad because you're doing things that are going to take you to the lake. So now no chastising for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Moses said, this is going to bring you to peace with me. I'm the ultimate judge. And if you're not chastised, you think you got it good for right now. But it's really going to bring you grief in the end. Therefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight the paths of your feet. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Listen to the Most High. Accept his chastisement that you might be what? Healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Your Father is holy. Your Heavenly Father is holy. He calls for his children to be holy. Don't say you can't do it. If you can't do it, then you must not be his. Being real. Got no time to play with this stuff anymore. Got to put down the childish things. Without which no man shall see Elohim. Let me read that again. Follow peace with all men and holiness, which without which no man shall see Yah. So, say you can't be holy, then you already said you can't see him. You won't see him. You have accepted that as your fate by your own mouth. Got to be holy. It's his requirement. And use the fact that he has made you his child as your motivation. If the Most High saw fit to accept you as his child, he don't see everybody that way. That should be enough to keep you. Just hold on to that. I am a child of the Most High Elohim. I will not be disobedient to my Father. Hold on to that. Esteem that. I am not a bastard. Our young people need to hear this for sure, for sure. Because they need reconciliation. They need to be healed because of what their parents have done. Looking diligently, any man fail of the grace of Elohim. You got to do this because if you don't, if you're not diligent about it, if you're not faithful to it, you will fail and fail the grace that Elohim has offered to you. Lest any root of bitterness spring up troubling you, and thereby many be defiled. Because, you know, a lot of people will look at this thing, I can't do it. And it's so hard. And this world, it just, I got to have this. I got to do that. I can't do it, Most High. Become bitter because they're choosing to be that way. Become bitter because they don't look at this thing from the right perspective. I am a child of the Most High. Because we weren't taught to have responsibility. We weren't taught to hold up a standard. And the Most High standard is just too high. The Most High says, you want to be my child? These are my standards. And if you don't do it, then I'm going to cut you off. That many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator. Because, you know, we're running around screwing, not even in relationships, not even considering none of this stuff. Caring more about being with somebody than being right and holy with the Most High. Being more afraid of being alone than we are of the Most High. Being lovers of pleasure more than we fear the Most High. Then more than we love Him. Seeking after that oath, that orgasm, and loving that more than we love the Most High. Seeking to please some man or some woman more than we love the Most High. And then we're doing it not even in the proper relationship. Most High said, those things are good if you're married. But if you're not, what you doing seeking after that? What you doing letting that be the motivation? Even if you're married, that shouldn't be the only thing you live for. And this is just so prevalent amongst us, mankind. But I'm not worried about mankind. The Most High didn't send me to mankind. If mankind hears this message and they want to repent and turn to the Most High, then I will preach and teach the gospel to them. But we say we are the people of the Most High and we know who He is, and then we got these issues. That's who I'm talking to. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person. Who's the profane person? As Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Let me put it in modern terms. And or profane person who don't appreciate their birthright. The Most High made you His child, and you don't appreciate it. And for a little bit of pleasure, you give up your birthright. for a few moments of feeling good, you give up your birthright. Then the Most High says, you don't really know who you are and what you've been offered like Esau, and you are profane. See, we don't have a problem applying it to Esau because we say, oh, he gave it up for a piece of meat. But in other words, you gave it up for a piece of meat too. Profane. We have to esteem what the Most High has done. We have to appreciate what he has done. And if you don't, then are you a bastard? So it did not change. And I want us to understand that the Most High says to Israel, this shall not be among you. This behavior is not acceptable. And if you find it, this is how you root it out. Find a man and a woman. A man sleeping with another man's wife, kill them both. Unless she's out in the woods, you couldn't hear her scream for help. You're going to give her the benefit of the doubt that she screamed for help. Kill him. Now, how we get to having, because they just got so out of control, now they're having children out of wedlock. Most High says, there's some of that among y'all. That's a reject for me. That child shall not enter into the congregation. Now, here we are producing generations of children that meet this criteria. And I just thank the Most High that he says, you know what? I'm not going to charge the child with the sin of the parent. But that child needs to come to me, needs to recognize who he is, and then understand and repent for the sins of his forefathers. And make a promise to the Most High, I'm not going to be that way. I shall walk in your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. I will make a commitment to you from their heart and know that the Most High will accept them. For you know how that afterwards, because see, I want us to read this verse 17. Because a lot of us think we can just do what we do and then afterwards repent. But the Most High don't have to say yes. So definitely don't be in the state of mind that, hey, I can do this thing and then, you know, I can go and sow my oats and I can be wild and I can do all this stuff. And then when I'm ready, I can come to the Most High and repent. And he says that he is sure and just to forgive me. You do err in your understanding. For you know how that afterwards, after Esau realized what he had done, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was what? Rejected. Who was he rejected by? His father still blessed him. He was rejected by the Most High. The promise, the Messiah ain't coming through you. You didn't esteem your birthright? You thought so little of it, you sold it for a bowl of beans? And here we are today. The Most High says, beloved, now are you the sons of Elohim, but it does not yet appear what you shall be. And then you're going to throw it away for some pleasure? For some money, for something that's temporary, you don't esteem what the Most High has done for you? You might be falling in the same category as Esau. He was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Finally came to realize what he was giving up. Cried his eyes out. Most High says no. We don't want to be that. So let me make sure that we have a good understanding. Because you're not going to have the Most High whipping me because I didn't tell you. Esteem your birthright. Understand who you are or are not. And walk accordingly. If you know the Most High has accepted you, then you better act like it. Not only act like it, you better be it. And you better not let nothing and no one bring you down from that. Because what you give up, you don't know if you can get it back. Number one. Number two, why would you even take a chance? You know, it would be like, let me put it this way. I don't think any of us here listening, you might be somewhere in the world, you might have a million. If you do, I need to talk to you. Got some work to do. But I don't think any of us got $1 million. And this would be like somebody giving you $1 million. And you'd be like, don't mean nothing to me. Not saying that you should love $1 million. I'm trying to put this in a perspective that you would not esteem this in such a way that you could use it to do the Father's business. But it just doesn't mean anything to you. And so you just go on about your business like you were. But you could do a lot with that $1 million. Good. Now talking about seeking out your own pleasure. Needs to be valuable to you. Because I know $1 million would be valuable to a lot of us. Even me. I'm not going to say I'm above that. No, I'm not. But I know I would be using it for the kingdom. But the Most High says, hey, you don't see any value in this. Now the kingdom should be worth more than you, way more than $1 million. Way more than a billion or a trillion or all the wealth in the world. Because you know what? When you die, you can't take none of it with you. It ain't going with you in the grave. Somebody else gonna spend it. And while you had it, were you doing the things that the Most High wanted you to do with it? Or were you trying to consume it upon your own lust? I need a bigger house. I need a better car. I need way more clothes. I need 100 pair of shoes. Consuming it upon your own lust rather than upon what he says that we were here for, his kingdom. So do you esteem who you are? Or are you like Esau? Now he says, for you are not coming to the mount that might be touched, that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and the tempest and the sound of the trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they heard and treated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Now this should have been, you have not come into the mount that could not be touched. That word not is left out of there. But we know the story. They weren't supposed to go to the mountain and touch it. Moses had to, you know, let's say rope it off. Hey, don't nobody go on this mountain. If you die, you are to be thrust through. You are to be killed. Don't matter whether it is a man or an animal. This mountain is holy. Because you haven't been there. For they could not endure that which was commanded. We see that Israel couldn't endure it. But the Most High said to do. for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. This is how terrible the sight was that they saw. No, Moses, you go talk to him. Moses said, I'm scared too, but I'm going to go talk to him. They were so afraid. No, you go talk to him. We don't want to talk to him. He says, but you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living Elohim, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to Elohim, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. How were they made perfect? By the chastisement and the scourge of the Most High, by being obedient to his voice. And to Yeshua, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than of Abel. Abel gave a perfect sacrifice and was killed. Not as he gave the sacrifice, because it made his brother jealous. Most High says, I'm not calling you to death. I want to give you life. See that you refuse not him that speaks. Who's speaking? For if they escape not, who refused him that spake on earth? Talking about Moses. Much more shall they not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Hear the voice of the Most High. Don't refuse to do what he says to do. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, you yet once more, I shall shake not the earth only, but also heaven. I'm gonna remove all those things that are removable, that are not permanent. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. You got to get to the kingdom. If you left outside the kingdom, you're going to be removed with everything that's removable. Let us have grace whereby we may serve Elohim acceptably with reverence and godly fear. How many times we got to be told to fear him? For our Elohim is a consuming fire. When he comes back, he says, this world is reserved to be destroyed by fire this next time up. I destroyed it by flood, and I said I will never destroy it by a flood again. But when I come to destroy it and make it over again, I'm burning everything up that is not permanent. And even you, I'm going to give you eternity, and I'm going to throw you in where? The lake of fire. I'm going to purge all things with fire. And you're going to be in that fire forever, because it's what you chose. You love wickedness more than you love me. You feared being alone more than you feared me. You love pleasure more than you love me. And I got the final say. So we don't want to be spiritual bastards. We don't want to be, say we belong to the Most High, but we don't obey his voice, and he don't chastise us. And so we're living in, you know, we think that we're getting away with something, because we don't see judgment come right away, and we think that we got away. We think that we're making it. He said, no, I got a day. I've appointed for all this. I got a day appointed. and you're going to come before me, and I'm going to open up the books, and I'm going to read the charges against you, and then I'm going to judge you how I've already told you I'm going to judge you. And you won't be able to say you weren't told. You won't be able to say you didn't know. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 23. Because I don't want people to think that the Most High says in Torah, suffer not a bastard to enter into the congregation. And now he's dealing with spiritual bastards. It's not a good thing. It wasn't a good thing back then. It's not a good thing today. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 3. An Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of Yah. Even to the 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of Yah forever. So if you're an Amorite, or an Ammonite, they had to wait 10 generations before they could even enter in. Now, we're going to read something about the Edomite and the Egyptian, because they met not with the bread. Now, this is the Ammonite and the Moabite. This is when they came against Israel in the wilderness, because they met you not with bread and with water in the way. In the way is when they were going through the wilderness, when you came out of Egypt, and because they hired against the Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor, of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. Now, Balaam, he was a prophet of the Most High. The Most High talked to him. Nevertheless, Yah thy Elohim would not listen unto Balaam. But Yah, thy Elohim, turned the curse into a blessing unto thee. Why? Because Yah, thy Elohim, loved thee. Most High says, I loved you. And yet you always went against me. How can we hear him say that and not make a change? How can we make the same mistake? Thou shalt not seek their peace nor their prosperity all thy days forever. He said, hey, you're not going to try to be friends with these people. You're not going to try to live in peace with them. They are your mortal enemy, because when you were going through the wilderness, they more or less attacked you. They wouldn't help you. Then their leader came and tried to hire a prophet of the Most High to curse you. Thou shalt not abhor or hate an Edomite. This is Esau. For he is thy brother. Thou shalt not abhor or hate an Egyptian, because thou wast a stranger in his land. The children that are begotten of them, the Edomite and the Egyptian, shall enter into the congregation of Yah in the third generation. So he didn't altogether curse them forever like he did the Moabite and the Ammonite. He said, hey, they can't get in for 10 generations. He said that the Edomite and the Egyptian, after the third generation, if they repent, they can come in. So we'd be twisting things. When the host goes forth against thine enemy, then keep thee from every wicked thing. You know, we go in, we conquer somebody, we see their gods, and we see how they were worshiping their gods, and we all of a sudden we want to do it. He says, no. Keep thee from every wicked thing. If there be among you any man that is not clean by reason of uncleanliness, that chanced him by night, Then shall he go abroad out of the camp, and he shall not come within the camp. He had a wet dream. He had sex with his wife. He had a boil that burst. See, because we don't really understand the cleanliness laws. It says he's to go outside the camp and not come within. But it shall be when evening comes, he shall wash himself with water. So this happened to him that night. He was to go outside the camp. You're unclean. You're not allowed to be in the camp. But that would include his wife too. Morning comes, still got to be outside the camp. The next evening comes, then they were supposed to wash themselves with water. And when the sun is down, he shall come into the camp again. Because the Most High was in the camp. Most High says, I know you did the do with your wife, but you're unclean now, so go outside the camp. And you're unclean until tomorrow night. See, we don't keep those things. We think that, oh, somehow, well, we got some stuff that's sanitized. Most High says all you need is some water, but you're still unclean until for this time period. So you don't need that disinfectant soap. You don't need that antibacterial soap. When you do wash, you can wash with that. It's all good. But until the time period is up, you are still unclean. I don't care whether you washed or not. Because there's a time period to put to it. And see, we'll do some unclean stuff and then want to come right before the Most High. Now, realizing that we are still unclean because we haven't allowed the allotted time to go by for our purification. Thou shalt have a place also without the camp whither thou shalt go forth abroad. And when thou shalt have a paddle upon thy weapon, this for them to use a bathroom, it shall be when you ease thyself abroad, that thou shalt dig therewith, and shall turn back and cover that which cometh from thee. In other words, Most High said, don't be doo-dooing everywhere and just leaving it. First of all, don't be doo-dooing in the camp. And if you got to go outside the camp. Take your shovel with you and bury it. For Yah, thy Elohim, walks in the midst of thy camp. I don't want to be walking amidst no bunch of doo-doo. I could say the other word. To deliver thee and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, clean, that he see no unclean thing in thee and turn away from thee. See, the Most High says, I don't want to be around this. And so even today, when we understand his cleanliness laws, see, we got to understand that he has some, there are penalties. Because he says, no unclean person shall enter into the kingdom. If you're practicing uncleanliness, as prescribed by the Most High, he's not talking about you just being wicked and vain in your thoughts. He's talking about, no, the way you live, the things that you practice, the way you present yourself to me, just had sex and want to come and be before me. But I said you are unclean. And even though you did go take a shower, what time is it? Oh, yeah, it's in the middle of the night. Then you unclean until the sun go down the next day. But no, I'm going to get up and we're going to get the Bible and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Most High says, you're not supposed to take part of anything holy. while you are in an unclean state. You're not supposed to come before me in an unclean state. But that applied to them back then. No, it still applies to you now. You think the Most High changed? He didn't change. So this is one of those areas that the world, not listening to the Most High and not understanding, they say, hey, I can't be around unclean. So I know it's a bodily function that you got to take a dump. Don't be taking a dump in the camp. And don't be taking a dump in the camp and then burying it in the camp. Take your behind outside the camp. Do your business. Cover it up. Come back. Because I walk among you here. And if I step in some doo-doo, somebody going to pay for it. Can we hear him? Because if I do it, I'm going to turn away from you. And you're going to go out in the battle, and some of y'all going to die because somebody left some doo-doo. Thou shalt not deliver unto his master the servant which is escaped from his master unto thee. Now, again, we don't live in these times. You know, it's been a minute since we've been in slavery, not that long ago. But even, you know, it just surprises me how Christianity wouldn't, you know, we're not under the law, so this don't apply to us. So if we catch a Hebrew, we ain't got to turn him over. We put him back in slavery because we ain't up under those laws. The Most High says, oh, you going to pay for that? And, you know, they don't want to read in this book that they're going to pay for those things. But the Most High says he's not a respecter of persons. He shall dwell with thee, even among you, in that place which he shall choose in one of thy gates. So this is a former slave. He escaped from whatever nation. He escaped to us. He says, now you're going to give him a place among yourselves, wherever he chooses. Not where you want to put him at, wherever he chooses. Where it liketh him best. See, because we'll be like, oh no, well, you ain't one of us. And we know you escaped. And you know, we got to take you in, but we're going to put you got to go in the back. And you get the worst, you know, yeah, we got some land, but it's full of nothing but rocks. Can't grow nothing there. Yeah, that's yours. Most High says you put him in the tribe that he wants to stay in, and you put him where he wants to be best. Thou shalt not oppress him. Now, we can read about this again. I think it's either Ezekiel 27 or 44. Because he tells the Gentile nations that become part of Israel who wish to dwell with Israel, that they shall have part in the land, an inheritance in the land when he gathers us. In the tribe that they want to be a part of. He don't change. So you say, oh, well, you're not Judah. And so you can't be living with Judah. He says, in the tribe where they want to live with. Where they think best. That's what's going to be in the future. For all those who want to be a part of Israel. Who want to join themselves to Israel. So he's saying it right here. He's saying in the future when he reestablishes the land, that all the Gentiles that want to join themselves to Israel will have a part, that we must give them a part in our inheritance, wherever they want to be. So he don't change. He didn't make up a new rule. He's telling them from the very beginning, this is how you're going to operate. And when I kick you out of the land, when I bring you back, the same rule is going to apply. There shall be no whore of thy daughters in Israel, nor a sodomite of thy sons. So we can't have our young ladies sleeping around, and can't have our sons sleeping with each other. Very specific. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel. That just simply means you can't be having marriage before sex. I mean, having marriage before sex. Can't be having sex before marriage. And the sons, don't be booty bandits. Don't be out to sleep with the women, and don't be out sleeping with each other. Thou shalt not bring a hiring. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of Yah, thy Elohim, as any vow. So a prostitute want to pay tithes. The Most High says, No, I don't want it. For even for both of these are an abomination unto Yah, thy Elohim. Thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother, usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. So we can't loan each other money and then say, okay, that's 2%. So I'll loan you 100, you got to give me 120 back. It's not, we're not allowed to do it to each other. We're not allowed to say, I gave you a loaf of bread, you got to give me 2 loaves back. We're not allowed to say, I loan you anything and you got to pay me interest on it at all. You loan it to your brother, they are to pay you back what they borrowed from you. Unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury. If you're not Israel, he says you can lend to them with usury, with interest, but you can't lend to Israel with usury. That means not to the, in this case, stranger is anybody that is not Israel. The stranger that joins himself to Israel. Before he joins himself to Israel, you can lend to him with usury. Once he makes a decision or she makes a decision that they want to become part of Israel, then you can't loan to them with usury. They are no longer a stranger. They are part of Israel and not a stranger. But unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury, that Yah thy Elohim may bless thee in all that thou settest thine hand to in the land whither thou goest to possess it. So he's saying, hey, to your brother, you can't loan with usury, but to the stranger, you can. But understand that the stranger can change their status. I want to come close. I want to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments and the judgments of the Most High. So there shall be one law to you and the stranger that joins themselves to you. They shall be as one born in the land. They changed. We got brothers that want to, you know, see them as outcasts forever. No, the Most High says they can't take part and be part of the ministry, the holy, this job I have assigned specifically to you, Israel. And even the stranger that joins you can't do that job. That's the only restriction. Because it's been assigned to you. But Israel still did it. Most High says, you brought the stranger into my temple and you had them doing your job. That's the only restriction he gave. I chose you as my priesthood. The stranger that joins themselves to you, they can come and they can live among you and they can be part of the people. But they got to be born into this. Now today, we got a different thing going on. And we'll talk about that when we get into the new covenant. When thou shalt vow a vow unto Yah thy Elohim, thou shalt not slack to pay it. Vows ain't got anything to do with money. But even if it's his money, he says you shall not slack to pay it. But a vow is a promise that you make, a fast that you go on, or, you know, I'm going to do this. He says, then you better pay it. For Yah, thy Elohim, will surely require it of thee. And it shall be, and it will be sin to thee. If you don't pay your vow, if you don't keep your vow, if you don't keep your promise, he says it's a sin. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin to thee. If you don't vow, it's not a sin. So don't be vowing if you know you ain't going to keep it. That which has gone out of thy lips, thou shalt keep and perform. Even a free will offering, according as thou hast vowed unto Yah thy Elohim, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. So if you make a promise to the Most High, you're going to do something, you better do it. I'm a witness to that. Because I made a vow to the Most High, didn't keep it, made a promise. He gave me cancer. And then he said, okay, this cancer ain't going to kill you. But you better not ever make me a promise again and don't keep it. When thou comest into thy neighbor's vineyard, then thou mayest eat grapes, thy fill in thine own pleasure, but thou shalt not put any in thy vessel. So he said, hey, you come into your neighbor's vineyard. You're hungry. He said, eat till you get full, but don't you put none in your pockets. Don't put none in no vessel. Don't come and shop in your neighbor's yard and then walk away with it. Eat what you need, and don't be trying to take none with you. When thou comest into the stand of corn of thy neighbor, then thou mayest pluck the ears with thine hands, but thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbor's standing corn. So whatever you can get off the stalk with your hand, see, but don't be coming there cutting down his crops. We're going to stop right here for this morning. Because the Most High is giving, again, his standards of behavior. This is the way I expect you to behave. Don't be stingy. Don't be covetousness either. Covetous, you know, yeah, I see you got more you need over there. I'm going to come over there and shop in your yard. I'm going to come in your refrigerator. I'm going to take your food out your refrigerator. Get me some bags. Hey, I had this to happen to me. My wife's, her grandmother, her aunt, we first got married. Come to my house with grocery bags. Gonna go through my cabinets and shop. And I said, what is wrong with y'all? And she let them do it. I said, You want to eat? Fix them something to eat. But you don't come and shop out of my refrigerator and out of my cabinet, going to get bags and take it. That don't work. I mean, and I didn't even know anything about the scripture saying it then. It was just, that's just a matter of common decency and courtesy. I'll feed you anytime. Whatever I got is yours. But you don't come and shop? You don't bring a bag? It's different if I say, oh, bring a bag. That'd be different. But if I don't say that, and then you do that, no. But the Most High says don't do it. So we look at his standards. We can't loan to one another. If we're in need, we are to open our hands to each other. Help one another out. Not loan with user. Hey, I did this for you, so, you know, I need to make something off of you. No, he says, not with your brother. Not with family. Now, if it's a stranger, they're not part. So, yeah, you can loan to them with usury. If the stranger becomes part of us, then they also, that law also applies. Can't loan to them with usury. So there's some things that we're not allowed to do that the nations have done to us. But we're not the nations. And we have to act according to what the Most High says. And anyone that joins us has to act and has to behave accordingly, or they can't be a part of us. We be taking people in and accepting their ways and their behavior, and you know they're coming bringing all other kind of things in. This is what the Most High never wanted to allow. If they want to be part of you, then they got to obey the same rules you do. Somehow the church thinks that it's going to be separate and apart from Israel. And doesn't realize that it is joining Israel. Those that the Most High, the remnant that the Most High chooses to save of Israel. The remnant of Israel. Because he's not going to save all of Israel. He says you shall not get altogether get off unpunished. And most of Israel is not going to repent. Even those that have awakened, a lot of them will not repent. But think they're going to make it in. The Most High, You're a Hebrew, but you ain't Israel. You got to do what it takes to get back in. Most of them just want to say, oh, I'm it by blood. Oh, no, you're not. You're a Hebrew by blood, but you're not an Israelite by blood. You got to come back in the way the Most High says, come back in. Let's bow our heads. Father, yeah, we thank you for your word today. Father, we thank you for showing us who are your children. Those that you chastise and you scourge, that you correct. You said there is no child of yours that you do not scourge, that you do not chasten, that you do not correct. All have sinned and fall short of your glory. And so, Father, if we are walking in sin, in willful sin, and we are not being punished, then we should know. We got a father issue. And who we claiming to be our father is not our father. Father, help those to see the light. Open their eyes. Help them to understand the gift that you have given us by making us your children, and that we should esteem that above everything else. And that should be enough to keep us, to stop us from sinning, to keep us from all temptation. When it comes, we should say to ourselves, this is not worth my salvation. This is not worth my childhood. This is not worth my inheritance. This is not worth me losing being a child of the Most High. It's not worth it. There is nothing in this world that should be worth that. Father, help us. Give us the strength to lean upon you. You are our sufficient. All that we need is in you. And just the knowledge that you have chosen us should be enough. Father, we believe every word of your scripture. And Father, we fear you because we know that you are an Elohim of your word. And the grace period that you have given us to come back to you, Father, we won't be tempted. We won't go outside of your statutes, your laws, your commandments, your judgments. That we lose the grace that you have extended to us. Father, we understand. We hear and we obey. Help us be our light. always put your word in front of us. Let your Ruach HaKodesh remind us when we would want to walk contrary, that we walk contrary not, that we have not the spirit of Esau and despise our birthright. You told our people, what nation is this? The nation should be saying, what nation is this that is so blessed that they have the statutes, the laws, the commandments, the judgments of the Most High? How can we appreciate any less that you have made us your children? Let us have this understanding, Father. Let this mind be in us, because this was the mind that was in Christ. He knew who he was. And it kept him even unto going to the cross and suffering that brutal death that you ordained for him. He said, we have not suffered unto blood for our own salvation, for this precious gift that you have given us. We haven't had to shed one drop of blood to receive it. Maybe we should have, Father. Maybe we might appreciate it more. But now that we know, Father, we won't treat it for less than what it is. The most valuable thing we have ever received in our life and will ever receive. To be your child. To be chastened by you. To be made perfect by you. Help us to walk in your ways. Help us to always keep you before us, that we remain strong, that we become obedient in all things. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right, on this evening, I don't know what the precept's going to be yet. I will send out a text ahead of time. I think I need to do some reading. If the Most High doesn't say different, if he doesn't give me, you know, a different message concerning us as a people or what's going on in this world, then we will be in Deuteronomy chapter 24. But I pray when I go before him, that it be his word. If he says the same, to stay where we are at, we will stay where we're at. And we will continue until we finish. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, esteem your birthright. Don't let nothing or anyone take it from you. Don't put yourself in a position where you have to repent and the Most High reject you as he rejected Esau. Don't take that chance. But value it. Tell your children, tell your husband, tell your wife, tell your mother, your father, whomever. They need to understand this thing from the eyes of the Most High. Because I don't know when he's returning, but we do know that time is winding down. We are closer today than we were yesterday to his return. Even if that's 100 years from now, we're still closer than we were yesterday. We do not want to take this lifetime that the Most High has given us and come up short. There's no reason for us to. May the Most High bless you. And remember, I love you. I really do. I want to see each and every one of us walk into the kingdom together. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. And he is the final judge. Brother Miles don't have a say. Well, I will have a say. He will ask me for a report. I want that report to be good. But it's his final decision. I pray that it is in all of our favors. Until we meet again, shalom. Have a blessed day.
What can I do if I don't have you? It's all about